Take your Bibles this morning and turn to the first chapter of 1 Corinthians, Corinthians chapter 1. I'll begin reading in verse 1, Corinthians chapter 1. I'm going to speak to you this morning about how God has constantly confirmed His truth. God has constantly confirmed His truth. Secondly, I want you to know that there are two aspects of this confirmation. There is an external confirmation of truth, and also there's an internal confirmation of truth. When Paul was writing to the people at Corinth, he told them that they were a blessed, gifted people. He says in these passages, as I read them to you, I want you to know that they had been given some utterance, that they had been given knowledge. They were gifted in many areas of life, many areas of religious life. They were very gifted. God had blessed them. And all of these blessings that God had given them started with an internal confirmation of the gospel. Now, before Paul concludes, he tells us in these passages that God will consistently confirm them. Even after you get saved, God continues to bless us. He continues to confirm His promises toward us, that He will ultimately present us blameless before God the Father. Notice as I begin reading in verse 1, as we consider this morning, God's constant confirmation in our hearts. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by Him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Keep in mind, as I read to you in your hearing today, that in the earlier passage, verse number 6, that He told them that the testimony of Christ was confirmed in them. That word confirmed, according to Thayer's, means to be made sure, to be made firm, to be established. The testimony of Jesus Christ, he said, was established in them. You know, we live in a day where a lot of people want Christianity without internal confirmation. We hear a lot of confessions of Christ without internal verification. Now that saddens me, because Paul said that those in the first century, the first century church, they all had an internal verification. They were made sure in their hearts of the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, all down through the ages of time, God has been consistent. He's been concerned about the spiritual needs of man, and He's been confirming His truth all down through the ages of time. There are many truths that are affirmed in the Bible. I mean, I could affirm this morning that man is a sinner, that he needs to be saved. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I can tell you this morning of a truth that God is merciful, that He's long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That is a truth. There are many affirmations of truth that I could set forth today. I could go through the various doctrines of Jesus Christ. I could talk about Jesus himself, how that he was born of a virgin, amen? That he died on the cross, that he resurrected, that he ascended, that he's seated at the right hand of the Father, that he sent the Holy Ghost, and the church is in the world preaching this wonderful truth. What? Just tell me. What, have I got something on me? My shirt collar. What's wrong with it? It's flipped up in the back. Did I get it? My wife's over going like this. You preachers know what I'm talking about, don't you? The biggest distraction in a service is the wife. Most of the time, I don't look at her. But I kept noticing she was going like this, and my daughter was going like this. For long, Aaron and Ashley Steen would be going like this. If all of you start going like this, I know there's something seriously wrong. Well, I got it fixed anyway. But there are many truths that are affirmed. And preachers all down through the ages have been constantly and consistently setting forth these truths. Now, it's one thing to hear them and believe them with your head. It's another thing to hear them and believe them with your heart. When a man believes with all of his heart, there comes into the heart a confirmation of the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, we preach this, we advocate this, we've been declaring this for years, the church has. I think it's something that's been declared and advocated all down through the centuries of time. But God is trying to rescue men from sin. And they cannot be rescued from sin until they come to the knowledge of the truth. Amen. It is the will of God that you be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. When I go back through the Bible, when we read about Abel, when he offered that lamb, rather than offering up tomatoes and potatoes, he was setting forth the truth that man needs a sacrificial atonement for sin. Abel, the son of Adam and Eve, was affirming the truth that man needs a redeemer, that man needs a savior. You can go back through history and step on up a little further to Enoch. Enoch walked with God. And I'll tell you how he walked with God. He knew the Lord Jesus Christ. Jude tells us that he preached even about the second coming of our Lord. The Lord cometh. The Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. He knew not only about the saving grace of God, but the second coming of the Lord. Enoch was a preacher. And he was setting forth and revealing those wonderful truths. I could talk about Noah. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And with every plank that went into the ark, he was declaring those things concerning Jesus Christ being the ark of safety. Actually, if you read in the book of Peter, I think it's 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18, 19, 20, 21, he says that Christ, the Spirit of Christ, was preaching to those spirits in prison in the days of Noah, when the long-suffering God waited in the days of Noah. In other words, Jesus, the Spirit of Christ, the message of Jesus, the affirmation of truth concerning Jesus was preached by Noah. Amen. Consistently, throughout history, God has been confirming his truth through Christ. Even Abraham, when he was called out of Ur of the Chaldees, when you think about Melchizedek, the king of Salem, all of these men, God was using these men to set forth his truth. Whether it's Isaac or Jacob or Joseph in Egypt, they all produce a golden chain of truths concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. many of the prophets. I could go through the major prophets and minor prophets. And I realized that when you read the Bible, like when you read through the book of Judges or the book of Kings, there have been some very dark days, some very depraved days in the history of man. Yet even during those dark days, though the stream of truth may have ran thin and shallow, it never ran dry. Amen. God has in every age of time set forth to mankind the truth concerning Jesus Christ being the way of salvation. Whether it was through types or shadows, through prophets or visions or dreams, God in sundry times and divers manners spoke to the prophets in various ways, but in these last times he has spoke to us through his Son. And that testimony of his Son needs to be confirmed in your heart. God has never abandoned the world. There's always been a lamp of testimony concerning man's sin, concerning the need of his sins being forgiven, though your sins be as scarlet. Isaiah said they could be made white as snow, though they're red like crimson, they can be as wool. All down through the centuries of time, God has been trying to tell us that we need to take care of our sin issues that we might get into the presence of a holy God. And there's only one way to have your sins canceled, and it's through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's always been through the blood of Jesus Christ, and it will always be through the blood of Jesus Christ. But never, never has God ceased to affirm what was true. The lamp and the testimony of truth has always burned bright. It's always been available. But notice in these passages of Scripture, we know that today that we are advocating, we are preaching the great truths of Jesus Christ. And what Jesus principally came forth to declare to us, one of the principal purposes of Jesus Christ, was to set forth these wonderful truths. Notice, as I look in John chapter 3, let's turn there for just a moment. John chapter 3. John the Baptist, he came and people inquired of him concerning who he was and the testimony that he brought. We notice there, like in verse 31, he said, he must increase, but I must decrease. He said in verse 31 of John chapter 3, he that cometh from above is above all. He that cometh from above is above all. Above all of the testimonies and all the witnesses of truth prior to Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ is above them all. Even the witness and the preaching and the testimony of John the Baptist. Jesus was above John the Baptist. He said, notice, he that cometh from above is above all. Right? He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. Notice that. He that came from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifieth. And no man receiveth his testimony. Not very many people receive this testimony. I mean, I think John was actually saying that everyone should receive the witness and the testimony of Jesus Christ, because he is not earthly, he is heavenly. He is not from the earth, he is from heaven. He was given true witness, and his witness is above all other witnesses before him. Looking like John chapter 8, verse 18. I'm going to use another couple of proof texts here. John chapter 8, verse 18. Jesus said, I am one that bears witness of myself. Jesus was saying, I bear witness of myself. Now you remember the Old Testament, many of the truths that came to the prophets of old, they would have to wait before God. They would have to get a revelation from God. Many times they would wait for one of those cherubims to fly and take from the altar a coal of fire and put it upon their tongues before they could speak the truths of God. Sometimes they would call for the ephod or the Urim and the Thurim. I mean, they waited before God. And you might say those truths that they received were secondhand truths. Many times there were angels that came and brought truth. Remember Daniel? Was it not an angel that brought truth to him? But Jesus spoke truth of himself. It was directly from him. It was not secondhand. It was not from another source. He didn't have to wait before God. His lips spoke forth rivers of truth. Fountain of truth just gushed forth from his lips. When he spoke, he always spoke truth. That made him superior and above all others. Amen? He was not earthly. He spoke those things that he had seen from eternity past. Amen? Other men could not do that. Whatever revelation they received it from a source, from an angel, through an ephod, through a cherubim, through a dream. In sundry times, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1, and in many diverse manners did God speak to the prophets. Many diversified ways he communicated his message of truth. But in these last times, God has spoken directly to us through his Son. Yes, he is not from the earth, he is from above. And he says in this passage, he says, I am one that bears witness of myself. I assure you the witness of Jesus Christ, it is true. In the 18th chapter of John, verse 37, when he was before Pilate, remember that incident? There in the 18th chapter of John, verse 37, as he was speaking to Pilate, Pilate asked him, he said, art thou a king then? And Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born. Now notice here, watch this. Jesus is telling us his principal purpose in being born. The reason he came. He said, to this end was I born. And for this cause came I into the world. Why did Jesus come? Notice what he says here. That I should bear witness unto the truth. That I should bear witness of the truth. Now let's think about what was said earlier in the book of Corinthians. Paul wrote to people at Corinth and said that Christ's testimony, that they would receive a confirmation of the testimony of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, I came, I was born, I was sent into the world to communicate, to bear witness, to affirm, to accredit. This is the truth. Now keep in mind, all down through the ages of time, God has been consistently trying to communicate his truth. But there's something special about Jesus in the manner in which he communicates it and the way he communicates it. Because he is not from the earth, he is from above. Jesus told the people at Laodicea, I believe it was, in Revelation 3 and 14, where that he says, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness. Jesus is a true witness. Now I realize we have a great cloud of witnesses. The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 12 and 1 that we have a great cloud of witnesses all around us. And they witness to us of the truth. But the greatest witness of truth that there ever has been and ever will be is Jesus Christ. He cometh from heaven, and he is above all other witnesses. Now my question that I'm going to propose to you before I conclude this message is, have you received a witness of the truth? Has it been confirmed in you? Now, I realize that a lot of people are very gifted at sales, at conning people, at communicating something. You ever went on a car lot? Man, they run out there to you, you know, and they're there trying to get you to do something, trying to get you to buy something, trying to get you interested in something. And many religions have become that way. But I contend that you must have an internal confirmation of the testimony of Jesus Christ, or you don't really know Jesus Christ. Amen. That you must be convinced from the one who came from above, not from someone who came from the earth. I read of a martyr as he was given his life in 177 AD. Atlan was his name. And as they were scourging him, and as I think on that particular occasion, they were branding him. They were putting a brand upon him. And as he was being tortured and eventually was taken to the arena and thrown to the wild beasts, he made a statement, a profound statement. And he said, "We are simply lowly confessors." Lowly confessors. In other words, he was saying, yes, a martyr means, you know, a witness. And giving a witness through the shedding of your blood or the giving of your life. And he said, "We are but lowly witnesses. We are but lowly confessors. You need a high, superior confirmation. And that superior confirmation that's received is directly from Jesus Christ." He said, Paul did, that we received a confirmation in us of the witness or the testimony of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm trying to tell you this morning that Jesus Christ, he is a superior witness. He has a superior testimony. Now I realize we like giving testimony, and in church many times we have testifying services. I was actually praying for one this morning that would have a testifying service. I really didn't feel like preaching, not spiritually, but physically. And I thought, well, maybe we'd have a testifying service. Maybe God would just relieve me this morning and I wouldn't have to preach. And we like testifying to the Lord Jesus Christ. And in my preaching, I don't want to preach myself. I want to preach Jesus. Amen. I want to lift up Jesus Christ and him crucified to a lost and a dying world. But listen, my friend, the greatest testimony a person can receive is a testimony of Christ confirmed in them by the Holy Ghost. He is a superior, a higher. He is the king of witnesses, the king of testimonies. He is the great I am. He is the one who came from heaven, and he is willing to give you witness in yourself this morning if you'll trust in him and repent of your sins. Men of the past, they consistently witness to the truth. And the truth was the same, okay? Don't get me wrong. Don't misunderstand me. Jesus witnessed to the same truth as those holy men of old witnessed of. Alright? Peter said in 2 Peter 1 and 21, "The prophets came not in old times by the will of men, but they were holy men of God, and they spake as they were being moved by the Holy Ghost." But Jesus is superior to all the rest of the prophets, to all of those men of the Old Testament. He is superior to them all. These other men, they testified of truth, but only said secondhand things. They spake those things that God revealed to them. But the things that Jesus said, he said because he was God and his truth was direct truth. Direct truth. Not indirect truth, but direct truth. Now that's important. That's very important in understanding. Because when Jesus spoke, there was never any kind of inconsistencies. It was a uniform truth, you know. When you look back at Noah, all right, let's just go back through some of these. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He received the grace of God. He built the ark. 120 years he preached righteousness. But there is a time in Noah's life
when he wasn't a real good witness. Noah got drunk. You know, David, the great king of Israel, the great Holy Ghost filled songwriter of the Old Testament, wrote many of the Psalms. A great man of God received divine inspiration. He was a great witness for God. He told about being saved. David told about being saved. He prophesied of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's been times, or was times, in David's life, one in particular that stands out above the rest. You know, his sin and putting to death of Uriah. I mean, there was a place in David's life where he was not a real good witness. I mean, I can even talk about Abraham. Even Abraham, there was a time where he lied and said that Sarah was his sister. Some have tried to say, well, indirectly, you know, there was a... And then you talk about, what about the whole situation with Hagar and Ishmael? What I'm trying to say this morning is that all of these men, at their best, are simply men. They're still earthly. And though they were holy men, moved to the Holy Ghost, every one of them had flaws. Amen. And at one point, at one time or another, their witness was not consistent with their lifestyle or their living. What they said did not always harmonize with what they did. Oh, but Jesus. You talk about consistency. I mean, everything he said, he did. Amen. Not one single time was there ever any form, one iota of hypocrisy or inconsistency. He always was consistent. He revealed many things to us, many truths to us. Now, I don't believe you can say that about any of the other prophets or preachers of long ago. Neither can you say that of any testifier or preacher of today. There's only one who's been perfect in every way. And always, always, always spoke the truth and lived that truth. And that was Jesus Christ. He was superior above them all of the past and is superior above them all today. That's why you need to receive the witness of Jesus Christ and not just receive the witness of men. John said, if you receive the witness of man, that's good, because he will declare to you. If he's advocating, if he's affirming the right truths, he will point you to the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And receiving the witness of man is good, but the witness of God is greater, better, more important. Have you had Christ confirmed in you? Do you know him? Jesus revealed to us God. There are some other passages I was going to show you. Even the Holy Ghost, which is equal with God the Father and God the Son. Amen? The Holy Ghost is equal with God the Father and God the Son. Look at the 16th chapter of John just for a few moments. Jesus said the Holy Ghost would come. And I want to point something out to you. The true witness always points to Christ. Amen. Christ always pointed to himself. The Holy Ghost never gets in the limelight. Never has and never will. The Holy Ghost always, always, always reveals Jesus. Amen. Jesus as the way. Jesus as the one who is the Savior. Jesus as the one who is able to redeem you. Jesus is the one who receives all the glory. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. The Holy Ghost never takes glory for himself. Jesus said that. Notice here, in the 16th chapter of John, just for a few moments, he told us that when the Holy Ghost would come, he said it would reprove us of sin, of righteousness, of judgment to come. He says of sin because they believe not in me. He says of righteousness because I go to the Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, he says, because the prince of this world is judged. He says in verse 12, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, what will he do? He will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. Did you read that, verse 13? The Holy Ghost will never speak of himself. Who does he speak of? I'll tell you who he speaks of. He speaks of the true witness, the one that came down from heaven, the one who was born to bear witness of the truth, Jesus Christ. He will not bear witness of himself. We have a time, a day today, where there seems to be a lot of Holy Ghost bearing witness of itself preaching. Y'all pray for me. We live in a day where that some of the things that are transpiring contradict what Jesus just said right here. Come on now, you look around. Where the Holy Ghost is bearing witness of itself, of himself. But Jesus said here, he will come to you, he will guide you, he will speak not of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify himself. Is that what it says? Y'all look there, verse 14. The Holy Ghost always, always, always glorifies Jesus. You get any kind of Holy Ghost movement, it doesn't glorify Jesus. You don't have a Holy Ghost movement. You may have had a fluffy feeling or something, but the Holy Ghost always, always, always glorifies Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord glorifies Christ. He, the Holy Ghost, will glorify me. For he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. The things that are shown to us came from Jesus Christ. They're revealed to us by the Holy Ghost, but it is the truth of Jesus Christ. Jesus was born into this world. The primary and principal purpose of his birth, of his coming, was to reveal truth to us. All right. Have you received or experienced the revelation of that truth in your own heart and life? What did he reveal to us? I think he revealed the whole truth to us. You may disagree, but he revealed the purpose of God. He revealed the holiness of God. He revealed the justice of God. He revealed the mercy of God. He revealed the love of God. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. His superiority, I believe, gives finality to this truth. I believe he was the last testament of truth. He is the last testimony and witness of truth. All the other truths that are received came to us by the Holy Ghost, but they are a revelation of what Jesus gave us. I believe it's Christ and nothing more. This revelation that the Holy Ghost gives, he said in these passages, notice, he said, those things that you receive of the Holy Ghost, they come from me. Every revelation that the Holy Ghost has given the church since the ascension of Jesus Christ, it came from Christ. That's what the book says. Read it there. He said, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine. In other words, he says, it's coming from me. And shall show it unto you. And that's the way it works. Jesus Christ, all that comes after, we are simply confirming or receive things Christ said and Christ did, Christ revealed through the Holy Ghost. Now, my question again to you, has the testimony of Christ been confirmed in you, in your own heart? You need confirmation. You know, we're living in a day where people are saying that this Bible is not true, that its precepts are not true. When I was in school, I had an Old Testament professor. His name was Dr. Ferris. He's one of the most intelligent men I've ever known in my life. He spoke 5, 10 languages. And he gave us a bibliography, and we got the criteria for the class. And one of the requirements was that we read 500 pages off this one bibliography. You could choose any of the books, but you had to read 500 pages. And he told us, he said, "This that I'm having you to read are from men who fell into this higher criticism that came out of Germany." I guess some of you who've done some deep study, you know about higher criticism and those things. Well, they go through and they say that only portions of the Bible aren't true. Surely you've read some of these books. We hear it advocated, and there are many preachers that believe that stuff today. I remember the first time I read one of those books. I picked it up and I started flipping through the pages and I thought, I'm dreading reading this. And I read like 2 or 3 pages and it was like trying to drink spoiled milk. You ever picked up one? Personally, for me, this may not be the way it is for you. When I start reading something and it doesn't correspond with the witness I've got in me, I don't care about reading it. I really, you know, I pick up a book, I start reading, this man hadn't even been saved, and he's going to give me religious advice? I mean, I can spend my time elsewhere doing better things. But I remember the garbage. I mean, the stuff that was just, it was out there, it was so absurd, so absurd, and it did not bear witness with my spirit. You know how I know this book is true? I didn't read another book and it convinced me. No, I received the confirmation in my heart that the testimony of Jesus Christ is true. Amen. Let me say this. They can spend another $2.4, was it $1 million? $1 billion. I can't remember. Whatever it was, $2.4 million, I think it was, on analyzing whether prayer works. They're just wasting their money. Amen. They can spend all the money in the whole wide world trying to convince me that prayer does not work, and there's no way they could ever convince me that prayer doesn't work because I know it works. Amen. It's been confirmed in me. I've proven it 100 times over. In me, I felt it. I've experienced it. I've heard the voice of God. I know God hears me when I pray. You can get any scholar or statistic you want to. You cannot change what God has confirmed in me. He's confirmed it 100 times over. I've drank of the living water. I know prayer works. I've had it confirmed in me hundreds of times since then. And as he says in the book of Corinthians, how that he would constantly confirm that, he said, who also will confirm you unto the very end. In other words, to the very end of your life, till you meet the Lord, or till the Lord comes back, he would constantly confirm his presence, his power in our lives. The truth is constantly confirmed in us. I remember when John Leland, he was a great preacher and man of God many years ago, and it's when fundamentalism first developed in this country, and he was a great evangelist in this country years ago, 1700s, I believe it was 1800s. And a man started preaching this easy believism, you know. And John Leland heard this man for the very first time advocating this stuff, that there was no internal confirmation or witness of the Holy Ghost. Actually, that he was preaching a gospel without the witness of the Holy Spirit. And I want to say, in addition to that, that if you are preaching or you know somebody that's preaching a gospel without the witness of the Holy Spirit, it's good possibility they themselves have not been saved. Amen. John Leland heard that one message. by that one preacher, and he was said to be a Baptist. And he walked away and he told another man, he said, "That is not the voice of my master." We've got something in us that confirms the testimony of Jesus Christ. And I venture to say there are occasions in our lives where we hear something or we witness something and we see something and it just doesn't jive with what's in us. Come on now. Y'all know what I'm talking about? There's a spiritual witness in the soul of the believer. All right. 1 John 5:10. I'm going to close. "He that believeth on the Son hath the witness in himself." Do you hear that passage? 1 John 5:10. "He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself." Paul wrote in Romans 8:16, "The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." There must be a power in grace. You tell me there's not a power in grace, then why do I live the way I live? Why has there been this change in me, huh? I know there's a power. I know there's a power in this gospel, or I wouldn't be living the way I live. People, I'd be living for myself, not for Jesus. I'd be doing things for myself, working for myself. I wouldn't be working for Jesus. Don't tell me there's not a power. I know there's a power. I've experienced the power. I've felt the power. Don't tell me there's no power in this religion. I know it to be true. There's a witness in me that confirms that these things are so. Have you had that happen to you? I guess there are other things I could say this morning. I do believe that God answering our prayers is a strong confirmation. I really do. Yeah. I mean, prayer works. You know, we don't have to simply have a song and sing there's power in prayer. Every believer has it confirmed in him that there's power in prayer. But this first initial confirmation that Paul was writing about in the book of Corinthians, have you had the Bible confirmed in you? Have you had the testimony of Jesus concerning his death, that he came to give life? Have you had that life confirmed in you? That he came to forgive you of sin? Have you had that confirmed in you? That he came to cleanse you? That he came to save you? He said, "I came not to call the righteous, but to call sinners to repentance." Have you had that call confirmed in you? I'm talking about the testimony of Jesus Christ. Jesus said he came to seek and to save that which is lost. Have you had that salvation confirmed in you? Jesus said that he was going to give his life. That he was give his life a ransom for many. Have you had his death confirmed in you? Jesus said on the third day, he talked about the destruction of the temple. And he said, 3 days I'll raise it up. I assure you on the third day he resurrected. But I didn't have to have somebody tell me he resurrected. I've had it confirmed in me. Amen? Yeah. And after 40 days, he ascended. He ascended and he sat down at the right hand of the Father. I've had that confirmed in me. For he makes intercessions for me. Amen. He is my mediator. Have you had the mediatorial office of Jesus Christ confirmed in you? Is he your advocate? Is he your go-between? Have you had... Jesus said that he came to cleanse us, to blot out sin, that the remission of sin should be preached throughout all of Jerusalem, Judea, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Have you had the remission of sin confirmed in you? Then if you haven't, you need to repent of your sins, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and receive the confirmation of the testimony of Jesus Christ.